Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
It's always a pleasure when you join us because we have so many incredible guests and great conversations right here exclusively on the award-winning Close Up Radio, which is a broadcast series presented by the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters, always here to sort of spread a little sunshine with the amazing guests that we have. We're continuing an extraordinary series with Dr. Lorrae Price of Women's Inner Fitness based in Bowie, Maryland. This is part two of our exclusive series. So if you did miss part one, it is archived and you can hear it and share it with those you think would find of great value the conversation that we had. Dr. Lorrae Imani Price is a licensed psychologist, U.S. Army veteran, and CEO of Women's Inner Fitness and Wellness Center, which is a telehealth group practice serving Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia, including Florida as well. Her primary therapeutic modality is cognitive behavioral therapy, and her collaborative interventions and homework are used to develop individualized treatment plans that support each client's understanding of their diagnosis and interventions for healing. She has extensive experience in military trauma and a passion for helping those who have been through difficult circumstances. Her passion for the emotional health of others has driven her to provide hope and healing to the lives of her clients so they can build the lives they desire. Her process is to use psychoeducation or resiliency skills, building interventions combined with compassion and heart-centered care, regardless of anyone's life situation or experiences. We have all been born with a unique potential and capacity to heal and transform. She believes that through counseling. Her work is to empower women by showing them that it's okay to reach out for help in counseling. Her holistic approach focuses on the mind, body, and spirit, providing support and guidance on how to cope with life challenges. She does this by addressing mental, physical, and spiritual health in a comprehensive way. Her work acknowledges women to take an active role in their well-being to create a more balanced and peaceful lifestyle. Bottom line, she says, being loving to ourselves means living the best version of ourselves. And she's dedicated to helping people build a healthier, more empowered life through the power of self-love. Before we welcome her back, I just want to say hello to everybody that's listening at the Women's Inner Fitness and Wellness Center. They love listening to the conversations that we have with Dr. Price. I was just chatting with one of the staff members there, and she said, we love listening to these conversations with our wonderful Dr. Price. So I think that's beautiful. So hello to everybody at the Women's Inner Fitness and Wellness Center there in Maryland. Now let's welcome Dr. Price back to the show. Dr. Price, welcome back to the show. You've got a great staff. They're all excited. They love when you're on with us, and they're all listening.
Oh, that is amazing. I love them too, and the only way I can do what I do is because of them. So it is definitely a wonderful collaborative individuals that I work with. I really love them all.
Isn't that great to surround yourself with people who get it, who believe in it, who are passionate about it, and who want to foster it and share it with others? There's nothing better, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're all in accord when it comes to our mission. And our mission really about elevating, expanding, and reimagining mental health and expanding it in the ways to places where it isn't always cool or maybe even always accessible. But we want everybody to have access to good care, and that's what our mission is.
Absolutely. Your practice started with only women and pivoted to having a heavy military population as well. Tell us about that transition, doctor.
Yeah, so serving those who have served this country is definitely a personal passion of mine. And you know, me being an Army psychologist, I say, well, who's going to love us more than me? I love us the most, and I understand us. And, you know, I started with just women because of the military service, and I had an acknowledgement going through being a female in the military that we really need a place for women. But after getting out and working with the breast cancer group and then hearing that so many service members couldn't find adequate and competent mental health care, I knew that I needed to incorporate my military training and just my passion for what I had been doing in the military into my practice. So now I'm serving military and civilian women, and I say, well, military women have unique needs, but being a woman is universal. That we have in common.
Right, exactly. That's fantastic. What a great transition that was. I know we've talked a little bit about the sessions and how they work and things of that nature, but I know people are also fascinated about your time in the military, and maybe you can share some of the incredible moments in the military and how it changed your life for the better. And before you do, thank you so very, very much for your service to our country. You know, that's something that you volunteered to do, and kudos and thank you to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I'm an Army legacy. I am fourth generation, and I'm proud to say that. So doing a residency in the military wasn't something that was on my radar. I didn't even know it was an opportunity. But a visiting professor when I was at Purdue University said, hey, would you consider the Army or the military because of all of the different rotations that they offer? So as I was looking into the military and residency programs, I was really impressed with all the different rotations that they have in the military, you know, inpatient, outpatient, working with children's families, of course, working with soldiers, and all of the different things that soldiers experience while on, while in service, but also the transition out of service. So I knew that my dad and his dad and his dad had all been in the military, and I didn't have the chance to know my grandfather or great-grandfather, but I did know my dad and the challenges that he had coming out of the military. So it was really something that interested me very much. And then I was working in breast cancer and doing my dissertation in it, and when I saw that Walter Reed had this huge grant for breast cancer, I was even more intrigued and more excited about this opportunity. So I was able to come into the military, thought I was going to work on the breast cancer grant, but as I'm working with soldiers, I recognize that the trauma and the nuances of their service was something that I really needed to put my mind, attention, and focus on. So my experiences in the military were fantastic. I learned so much about myself. Actually, I grew. I thought I was a grown up, but I went into the military, and I was working on my doctorate. But the discipline, the resilience, and the self-reliance, and learning how to be self-reliant, but also use my left and my right, I mean, these military terms, my brothers and my sisters in arms to help the mission just made life so much bigger and more expansive than the world that I was living in. So I just feel so much pride and just so rewarded by having been in the military and having that experience. And I just really pray that I get to share my enthusiasm, my passion, and my hope for healing and that people can get better with my military brothers and sisters.
That's so important. That's so vitally important. What are some of the struggles that and challenges you find that service members face? I'm sure there's a multitude.
Oh, my gosh, there are a multitude. Definitely, you know, physical and mental health issues, financial hardships, the post-service reintegration, all kinds of stress and uncertainties while serving. But after serving, there's also access to health care, finding stable employment, navigating their social environment, trying to create that sense of community is also a difficulty. And one of the things that I'm hoping to expand in my practice for some in-person community building as well as some online community building among the military population.
That is so great. It really takes a village, right? You've got to create that community.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We need each other. Like, just we as humans need one another. And I don't believe we were sent to this this earth and sent, you know, in this world to be alone. And for many service members, it is very isolating to leave the thing that you've been doing so many years and this community of people that you know you can rely on and transition into a world where there's a very small percentage of people who have ever served. And trying to find people who understand and can support the things that we did that we had to do, some of those things we didn't want to do, but they were part of the mission and part of our the expectation of us serving in the military. That's really hard for a lot of service members and veterans.
Right, exactly. I don't doubt on many different levels as well. Why do you believe military members, I guess they sort of stigmatize seeking counseling? Does it make them seem vulnerable or weak or, hey, I can, you know, sort of that old adage you would hear the grandfather say, I survived the war, I could survive this, you know, sort of that stiff upper lip way of thinking.
You have hit it on the head, fell on the head in so many ways. You know, in the military, we are taught to be strong, both physically and mentally, emotionally. And the expectation is that you're supposed to be able to go through these activities and experiences that most humans will never, ever, ever have experienced. And you're supposed to do that without having any type of residuals from it. The mindset, you know, strong body, strong mind. We can push through this. And I believe in that 100%. But what I don't believe in is that we're not supposed to be affected by the things that we do. I just don't believe that. I won't get into details about the types of things that service members have to see or are engaged in, but it's some hard things. And so encouraging service members and veterans to get help is definitely my charge. The stigma, you know, some of the stigma is that showing, getting help. Even some people won't go to a physical doctor, an MD, to get help because supposedly this shows weakness or some kind of vulnerability. And we're supposed to be optimal at all times. So if we go to get help, then we're not optimal, and then maybe that's weak. There's also many people believe that, that those who have served, it could negatively impact their career or cause them to be denied security clearances, and that's absolutely not true. There's also a few therapists who understand the military culture or the mission. And for some service members, the thought of telling people some of the things that we've done can bring on shame or just fear, the fear of judgment. There's fear of judgment that maybe the doctor will look at you negatively, but there's also fear of judgment from other service members, because we have service members telling each other, man, you can get through this, or you don't want to go over there. They're going to think you're crazy, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say, well, actually, I went and got some help, because you don't know how even your fellow service members are going to feel about it. And then there's just a lack of knowledge about mental health options and what people can do. And then I also get have gotten people who said, well, what I did was classified. It was top secret, so I can't talk about it, so I don't know how I can get counseling. And I would just let them know that I don't want to know the details of what they did or how they did it or who did it with them. I'm just here to help them process whatever it was so that they can get to a better psychological place than where they are right now. I don't need to know the details. I just need to have you have an open mind so I can help you transition to a better place.
See, that's the key. We often, whether we're in the military or not, we often take sometimes better care of our cars than we do ourselves. When we hear something ticking in the engine or something doesn't sound right, we bring it right in. But sometimes we don't do that with ourselves because there's the pride factor. But in order, like you're saying, in order to be at full capacity, everything
yeah.
going as it should be, you have to make sure that you're okay, mind, body, and spirit, so you can take on the world's challenges and you can also inspire others. I mean, you can't inspire others if you're not inspired yourself, right?
Right, but people will talk themselves into believing that they can do this on their own. I can do this. I talked to someone this week who said, I know it's been a 20-year journey, but I figured that I would figure this out. I'm going to work through this. I'm going to make this happen, and I'm going to be okay. And I realized I'm not okay. And I said to him, it's okay to not be okay. You've already done the hard work, which is you called me. Now let's work through all the other stuff, and I'll go at your pace. I always go at their pace. I remember a Marine. I was doing his disability report, and he said to me, when I was in Afghanistan, we laughed at the guys that went over to mental health and was saying, oh, they needed some rest and these kinds of things. He said, we laughed at them. He said, but in silence, I really was thinking, I wish I could do it. He said, now mm-hmm. it's 10 years later, and for these 10 years, I've been struggling. I've been suffering. He said, and you know what? I wish I had gotten self-care before today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, see, you're right, exactly. Yes, oftentimes a lot of people that are the ones that are making a statement underneath, they're usually wanting it themselves. They just don't know how to reach out. I often say one of the greatest investments of all the things you can invest in life is yourself. Really,
yes,
yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the
you
best.
You are your great investment. Yeah.
You're the CEO of your own life. Exactly. Let's talk about the services you provide for military personnel and their families. I know they're varied and they're very impactful services.
Yeah, well, thank you. So we believe that mental health has both a prevention and a treatment focus. And we look at the whole person in order to reduce symptoms, improve functioning, and promote resilience. And we do this through individual therapy, group therapy. We encourage medication management when necessary, and then we have various forms of evidence-based interventions that we use that are tailored to each service member. And in my practice, I consider us, I know we're psychologists and mental health therapists, but I also consider us resilience coaches, and we believe in post-traumatic growth. So I have come up with this protocol called We Serve that I've developed, and this is how we work with individual service members that come in. The we is for wellness engaged. The S is for a safe space, no judgment. You need that before you can get people to open up and to start to explore, which is the second part, which is E, for explore the trauma and be educated about how it impacts their lives. So they need a safe space before they can open themselves up to the exploration. And then the R is for resilience and reprocessing the trauma and skills building. V is for validation. We validate the work that they're doing and their feelings. And then we continue working towards their healing. The E is for empower a change in their narrative and re-engage in life. So oftentimes after people have been through so much trauma, they don't feel empowered. So after we validate the work that they're doing and their feelings, then we want them to feel empowered and change that narrative of whatever they believe, I'm broken or I'll never get better from that. Change that narrative. You can do it. And then the D for in We Serve is for develop a plan to manage their triggers or any other negative emotions if it should come up again. So We Served. That's the protocol that we use in our practice.
Fantastic. Tell us about EMDR and how that helps with trauma as well, Dr. Price.
Yeah, so EMDR is, it was developed in the 1980s, and it's called eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's widely studied. It's a very effective tool for relieving symptoms of trauma, anxiety, depression, intrusive thoughts, and flashbacks. And what happens is that through EMDR, individuals can identify and then process the traumatic memories that are happening, and they do this in a safe space. And while they're processing the memories and the emotions that go along with it, we help them to become desensitized to what the traumatic memories are so that when those thoughts come up for them, instead of experiencing the high level of anxiety and stress that comes with it, you can have the memory and it be more like watching a film as opposed to being engaged in that memory again. Oftentimes, for individuals who have experienced trauma, the thing that keeps them, I'll say, dysregulated emotionally is feeling like every time the memory comes up of whatever the traumatic event, they're immersed in that again. They're immersed in that memory, and it feels like it's happening over and over again. So through EMDR, individuals can have the memory and see it more like something that happened as opposed to something they're living.
Terrific. That's incredible, the results, I'm sure, and the feedback that you get. What would you say to somebody who is listening to our show right now, and maybe they are in a place of being stuck, frustrated, maybe they really do, underneath their breath, really want to reach out, and they want to do it in a safe zone. That's one of the things that I know you're really great at establishing immediately with your clients is that safe place, that non-judgmental, non-threatening, safe, welcoming place, and you establish trust right out the gate, which is so important, trust between them and you, you and them, because they probably will be able to open up and share things that they never thought they were going to share and don't even share with their closest loved ones and friends. And because you've been there yourself in many respects, you can relate to what they're saying on certain levels. Tell us about that. Somebody that's listening who's on the fence, loves what we're saying, what we're talking about. They're a little on the fence, a little trepidation as far as putting that one foot in front of the other to seek that help.
Yeah. You know, seeking help is a strength, and we used to say that all the time when we were in the military, seeking help is a strength. It takes courage to ask for help, and it can be scary, but we were in the military. We've done scary things. We know how to do scary. But even though it's scary, you don't have to be afraid, because there are people here who want to support you in your healing and will do it at your pace. So one of the things that we have always done in the military is that we're all about the mission, right? So whatever the mission is, we make sure that we get it done. So I'm going to ask whoever's listening who's on the fence to see yourself as part of a mission and allow yourself through the mission to get what you need. Healing is what you need, then get it for yourself. We're here. We're open. I'm a service member. Many of the individuals who practice in my organization are service members, or they are spouses of service members. So we have created a very military-friendly environment. And although we haven't been through everything that you may have been through, we are certainly here to help you to move through whatever things are stopping you from living the life that you want. So reach out. There are people who want to help you, and there are people who can help you.
Why do you love doing this work so much, Doctor? It obviously brings you great joy. It's full circle on many levels.
Yeah. How do you tell people about your calling and your purpose for being on this earth? I can't remember who said it. The two most important reasons for being on this earth, or two both most important things about being on this earth, is being born and then knowing the reason why you were born. I feel like being a psychologist is the reason why I was born. It's my calling. It's why God has me here. And I pray that I have an impact and can share anything that he has imparted me to be a service and a help to others. It's really about other people.
That's so extraordinarily important. Yes, it's about other people. And when we think about that, when we think about others and not just ourselves, it allows us to grow and be happier, more balanced. We learn self-love. We're more empowered. And that creates those successes. You know, we're always chasing the success and wanting to be successful. But sometimes, you know, success is one thing, but the happiness and joy underneath the foundation of the happiness and the joy and the contentment while you're, you know, counting the riches, it's very important. It goes hand in hand, right? Sometimes we are chasing the gold ring, but underneath people aren't happy. You want a well-balanced experience, don't you?
You do, and I believe that most people really are looking for fulfillment.
Yes.
They just don't always know how to get it.
Right.
So, you know, I encourage people to explore different things in their lives just in general. But when you find that thing you would do regardless of whatever challenges are in front of you because you're that passionate about it, then that is your purpose for being here. And that's
exactly
the thing that gives you fulfillment.
Exactly. If folks want to make contact, what is the best way to reach you, Doctor?
Well, you've been having a lot of interactions with my executive assistant, Nicole.
And she is terrific. She's on the money.
She is. Yeah, Nicole. Everybody loves Nicole. Like, there's no one who is not looking forward to talking to her when they call the office. But you can call the office at 443-569-8882. And although we are based, our main office is in Maryland, we are expanding across the East Coast. And next year we're looking to open up a satellite office in Texas as well. So right now we're in what we call the DMV, Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. We're also in Florida, and we are coming to Texas soon.
And then you have the website, WIFWC.com.
Yep.
That's perfect. Dr. Price, thanks for joining us on the show. It was really a true pleasure. Thoroughly enjoyed these conversations. They are real, they're authentic, they're empowering, and I hope we get a chance to explore some more, maybe hear some case studies, testimonials, things of that nature. That would be a pleasure as well. But hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you. It was a real pleasure.
I've loved it. Thank you so much, Jim.
You're very, very welcome. Keep up the extraordinary work. And again, thanks so much, Dr. Price, for joining us. Our very special guest, part two of our series, Dr. Larae Price of Women's Inner Fitness and Wellness Center, a telehealth group practice serving Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia, Florida, and expanding further. Want to learn more? Go to www.wifwc.com. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest for you right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.